Good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. Yesterday, we ended off with a question. Clearly, we see, as the Pasuk says, Re'eh, Hashem says to every single one of us, as an individual, Re'eh, look. Look at the difference between a person who lives with Hashem's advice, with Hashem's vision. Look at the relationships that are created by all the halachot. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, just one halacha. The halacha of loving every single Jew and what that creates. The halacha of kivud av v'em, what that creates. The halacha of not speaking lashon hara, what that creates. The halachot of Shabbat. You know, if you describe the halachot of Shabbat to a person who's not observant and never kept Shabbat, it would seem to them like a jail. You can't do that, you can't do this. But ultimately, we know anyone who keeps Shabbat knows the sweetness of Shabbat and knows the many benefits of Shabbat, to the point that if a person keeps Shabbat ke'ilcheta properly, you can't imagine how a week can go by without a Shabbat. So Re'eh, says the creator of the world, you don't have to believe me. You'd be smart to believe me. But I'm telling you, you could see it. If you open your eyes, you could see the difference of someone who lives with my vision and someone who doesn't live with my vision. Any person in this world today that is suffering from any kind of problem, it's only because they didn't live with God's vision. You have to remember that. Billions of people, all kinds of issues. It's only because they didn't live with Hashem's vision. Because with Hashem's vision, everything is solved. So Hashem says, Re'eh, just look. The difference between two families. The difference between two children. You raise a child this way, you raise a child that way. Look at the difference. It's obvious. So the question is that since it's so obvious, if that all you have to do is open your eyes and just look at the differences between following the Creator or following your own advice, besides the ridiculous even thought of that, being that we are just visitors in this world and the Creator is the one who put it all together. But even besides that, the fact that you're able to see, you're able to see the menuhat ha-nefesh, the calmness of a person who follows Hashem's vision, you're able to see how he's not easily angered or not angered at all. You're able to see how they watch their mouth, how they respond. You're able to see how they have wisdom and how they deal with so many things in life. Just look. Re'eh. Not like secret. So how could anyone not take care of himself when they see the obvious choices? How can anyone walk out of a shul and say, you know what, I know, but I got my own way? What do you mean? Don't you see? Doesn't every person love themselves? Doesn't every person care about themselves? People do so many things to make sure that they're healthy, that they're going to be financially stable, that they're going to be taken care of in every single way, because they love themselves. How can a person see the two sides and still ignore? That is today's question. How is it possible to see the results of God's vision and the results of the other way, and not say, okay, I'm all in. How is that possible? Being that every person loves themselves, it's very hard to understand. The pasuk says, "Vayitzavenu Adonai la'asot et kol ha'chokim ha'ele." Hashem commanded us to do all of His laws. Letov lanu kol hayamim. So it should be good. It should be tov. That everything should be good. Our friendship should be tov. Our marriages should be tov. Our children should be tov. Our connection to Hashem should be tov. Our connection to ourselves should be tov. Our youth should be tov. Our years of older age should be tov. Kol hayamim. Ha'aidoti bachem hayom. Et ha'shamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Hashem says, I have here ha'aidoti, testimony. Ha'hayim ve'hamavet natati lefanecha. I'm giving you a choice of life and death. Meaning, Hashem's vision is life. Anybody else's vision is death. Ha'chayim ve'hamavet natati lefanecha. Ha'beracha ve'haklala. My vision, chayim. My vision, beracha. Your own vision on your own, mavet and klala. U'bacharta ba'chayim. Choose life. Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. Lema'an tihyeh. So that you will live. Ata vezar'echa. You and your children. Don't you care about your children? Don't you care about your future? Don't you care about your grandchildren? You want them to go where? On whose road are they following? Ask yourself. Baharta ba'chayim. Choose life. Such obvious things. The famous question is, choose life. Who would choose death? That's today's question. Who in their right mind? You're right, there are people. Charlie's right, there are people that just don't know anything. They're just ignorant. They don't even know where to look. They're so ignorant that they don't even realize the difference between one kid and another one. There are possibly some people like that. But I'm not talking to those people today. I'm talking to people who have enough around them that they could see, if they open their eyes, the difference between this kid and that kid. Wow, what a respectful boy. Wow, what a mature guy. Wow, what a motivated person. Wow, this kid, wow, what a loser. Involved in all kinds of things. Maybe drinks a little too much, maybe some drugs, maybe some this, gambling, is not so responsible. Okay, you have to be a genius to look at the two. There. So the question is, how could it be that despite that the images and clarity is in front of their eyes, and a person still will choose mavet? That is the question. Every father and mother have a choice when they raise their children. Am I going to raise them in Hashem's vision or my vision? What is the question? How can they even be a question? The most precious commodity you have in your life. You worry about them. You think about them. How do you not put them on a road that's guaranteed success? So today I'm going to share with you perhaps the number one obstacle in this subject, in this area. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah talks about a great rabbi who asked his Talmidim if they can come up with the most important derech in life, the most important road that one needs to be on to succeed in this world. It's an interesting question. There are a lot of important things. He wants to know if they could think of the most important. Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai, one of the greatest Jews that ever lived. Amar lahem, he said to his students, Se'ur'u, go out and look. Ezohi derech tova she'idbak b'ha'adam. What is the best, most important derech, road, mindset that a person needs to follow in this world to guarantee success? So each one gave their assessment, and I'm not going to go through all of them. One said, Ayin Tova, very famous words, very famous Mishnah. One says, you have to have a good eye. You have a good eye, things will be good for you. One says, Haver Tov, be a good friend or choose a good friend. One says, Shachen Tov, be a good neighbor or have a good neighbor. One says, Lev Tov, good mind, a good heart. But today we're going to focus on number four, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the most important derech to succeed in this world is Haro'eh et Hanolad. You have to see ahead. You have to see that which will be born. Not only to see the moment, but you have to see further ahead. If you chose that derech, you're guaranteed success. It's interesting that a person, it's not really a characteristic of who the person is. The other ones, it's more of a Ayin Tova, Lev Tov, to be a good friend. Here, it's not about a specific area in your life. It's more about a general way of thinking. It's about a person who sees ahead. Seems to be, according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, the most important. The next Mishnah says that he told them, after they gave all the answers, to find what they think is the derech ra'ah, the worst. What's the worst derech you could be on? So they all said opposite of the one that they gave. So the one who says a good eye, he says a bad eye. The one who says a good friend, he says a bad friend. The one who's a good neighbor, he says a bad neighbor. And the one who says Lev Tov, a good heart, he says a Lev Ra. What does the rabbi Rabbi Shimon, who said the best derech is to see the Nolad, what does he say is the opposite, the flip side of seeing the Nolad, which is, according to him, the worst derech you could choose in life? He says, very interesting. Ro'et and Allah already, we could understand. This one's going to be harder. He says, Hallove ve'eno meshalem. Someone who borrows and doesn't pay. That seems to be a very specific detail in a person's life, a person may go through his entire life and never borrow altogether. Doesn't seem to be a daily decision. Doesn't apply to all people for sure. So he seems to have gotten lost, Rabbi Shimon, in a very small detail of a person's life when we're asking about a derech. We're not asking about an action. We're not asking about something specific that people do. What do you do Erev Shabbat? That's not the question here. Question is, what's your derech? What's your mindset? What road are you on? Saying a guy who borrows and doesn't pay is way too specific for such a big question. That's a small detail. What is he saying? What is he talking about? And how is that opposite of the person who's ro'et anolad? For this question, we need to go to the parasha of Yaakov and Esav. And we're going to need some help from the Ramban to help us understand things. We know the famous story of Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov was preparing food for his father who was mourning the death of his grandpa, Avraham Avinu. As the Pasuk says, Vayazed Yaakov Nazid, he was preparing the soup, as we do for Lo Aleinu mourners. We prepare them Seuda, after the burial. Vayavo Esav min hasadeh. Esav came from the field. That's where Esav hangs out. He's tired. And Esav tells Yaakov, Halaiteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. He says, give me from the red stuff. Says the Pasuk, Alken Kara Shemo Edom. That's why his name throughout history is Edom, the red. Mr. Red. His nation is called Edom. We are today in Galut Edom. We're in the exile of Edom. Not Esav, Edom. So the Pasuk kind of like in parentheses says, by the way, you see this incident? You ever wonder who the Edomites are? Edom? Who are these people? Oh, from here. These are the children of Esav. But who's Edom? He's Edom. Why is he Edom? Because when he came from the field that day, he asked Yaakov Avinu for the red stuff. When he asked him for the red stuff, so he got a name, not only a name that someone gave him, a name that the Torah recognizes. A name that lasted through history. More than Esav, Edom. Very odd way to pick up a name that of such value. You ask someone for the red stuff, so your name is Edom. You become red. You ask someone for pasta, you become pasta. It's hard to understand. That's what it says. Al ken kara shemo Edom. Now you know why he's Edom. So we know what happens. Yaakov sees a man who is not fit to be a leader, to be a firstborn, to be a role model. So he says, okay, I'll give you the red stuff. Sell me your leadership rights. Sell me your firstborn rights. Listen to this response with the help of the Ramban. Vayomer Esav. Esav says, Hine anochi olech lamut. He's, I'm going to die. Ve'lama ze li bechora. What do I need this for? What do I need this responsibility for? To be a teacher, to be a leader, to be a person. But they made the deal. Yaakov gave him the food. He ate, he drank, the pasuk says. He got up and left. Vayivez Esav et ha-bechora. Esav belittled this birthright, this bechora. That's the end of the story. Says the Ramban, what does that mean? Anochi holech lamut. That I'm going to die. What was the hidush of that statement? And how did that become the reason to make such a terrible deal? By the way, if you think that Esav didn't appreciate the Bechora, think again. Because later on, many years later, he was 63 years old. Many years later, the words that he said, Basuk says, when Esav found out at the age of 63, many years later, he found out that Yaakov got the bracha. Look at the words he says. He says, Achi kara shemo Yaakov. Oh, makes sense why his name is Yaakov. Ve'yakeveni zef ha'amayim. Means he tricked me. He got me twice. Which way? Where did he get you twice? He says, "Et bechorati lakach." He tricked me. He took my bechora. Wait, hold on. I thought you didn't care about the bechora. I thought you didn't care about that responsibility. But here it sounds like he's in his mind for close to 50 years. He's still thinking how he beat him. He took the bechora. The pasuk over there says, "Vayives Esav the bechora." People saw Esav and said, "You sold the bechora." Yeah, who needs bechora? Hine anochi olech lamut. What bechora? Cares. 50 years later, he says, "Oh, Yaakov, he did it again to me. He did it again. He took my blessing." Okay, the blessing we understand. He lost the blessing. It's Hakavinu's blessing. It's big. But now it reminds him of another major loss in his life, that Yaakov took this birthright of his 50 years before. So it sounds like he very much does appreciate the birthright. He considers it a major loss to Yaakov. Et bechorati lakach. And now he took my blessing. He didn't just say he took my blessing. He's reminded of another major item. He says that Esav already explained to us why he's okay to sell this great responsibility, this birthright. Mipene shehaya holech lamut betsudo ahayot. Meaning his business was out hunting. When you hunt animals in the wild, it's just a matter of time when you're gonna get trapped yourself. You're trying to kill others, but you may get killed. A lion might come behind you, a tiger might come. That's where you are. He says it's very possible he'll die sometime soon. He says the Bechora only has a ma'ala, rak ahare ha'av. I mean, if I'm the firstborn, as long as the leader is alive, the father, well, he's the leader. He's the one responsible. When does the Bechora kick in? After the leader is gone. It's like you're the vice president. Okay, until there's a president here, there's nothing for you to be excited about. But since he's a good chance of dying before, he says, Ma to'il lo Bechora. What's going to help him, this Bechora? He says, Ve'amar, that's what the Pasuk says, Ve'yochal, Ve'yesh, he ate, he drank, Ve'yakom, Ve'yelach, he got up and left, Ve'yives. Hey, this, not important. He says, Ki en hefetz ba'kesilim. Listen to these words. He says the Ramban, because fools of life only have a desire, rak she'yochlu, ve'yishtu, ve'ya'asu hefzam be'itan. The fools of life have a goal to eat. They're eating kosher, by the way. And to drink. And to do what they want, be'itam. The fools of life, says the Ramban, are people that are interested to do what they need to do now. Ve'lo yahushu le'yom mahar, and they don't concern themselves with the future. They think about the moment. What's the moment? Soup, drinks, pleasures, whatever they want. Pasuk says in Hosea, Ki yesharim darchei Hashem. The ways of Hashem are yashar, a perfect, straight. Ve'tzadikim yelchu bam. Great people. They follow this derech. It's perfect derech. Uposhaim, and the failures of life, yikashelu bam. They stumble on them. Very interesting. How can it be? The same item that the tzaddik uses to elevate and succeed, the failure is using the same item to stumble and fall. What does he mean? What is that talking about? We know people could take the right road or the left road. That we understand. But how can it be they both do something that Hashem created and one succeeds and one fails because of it? So here's the answer. The Pasuk is referring to an example. Gemara says in Masechet Berachot, what does a person do when he has a very strong yetzer hara to do something wrong? He doesn't want to do it, but his yetzer hara is very strong, and he feels he needs help. He's not strong enough on his own to stand against the yetzer hara. So the Gemara over there says, what should he do? Gemara says, Le'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. Sounds like you have to try to show the yetzer hara the good side of not doing that. Try to show that, listen, if I don't do this, I'll be much better off. Try to convince your yetzer hara it's no good for you. Gemara says, Im nitzeho, if you beat him, mutav, beautiful. If you're able to be yetzer hara just by showing, hey, there's a flip side here. I know you want me to do this, but there's another side. If you're able to win that way, beautiful. Says the Gemara, ve'im lav. Let's say it didn't work. Didn't work. Yetzer hara is too strong. You tell him this, he gets stronger. Says the Gemara, Ya'asok ba'Torah. Go to the Beit Midrash, open a Sefer, start learning Torah. It'll help you beat Yetzirah. Says the Gemara, Im nitzecho, if you beat him, mutab, it's good. The Torah helped you. Ve'im lav, I say it didn't work. You're sitting in the Beit Midrash, but your mind is on the Averah. You can't get your mind off it. Even the Torah learning is not helping you. I mean, Torah does help, but maybe he's not able to even learn. He's trying to learn, but his mind is not there. Person is really in Torah. It burns the Yetzer HaRa. But maybe he can't really learn the way he's supposed to. He's not able to. Says the Gemara, okay, if that doesn't succeed, we have another option for you. Yikra Kiryat Shema. Go read Kiryat Shema. I'm assuming, like, read it the right way. Not the way most people read Shema. Read Shema the way you're supposed to read it. Shema is very powerful, and it can help you beat your Yetzer HaRa. Says the Gemara, Ve'im Lav. And if it doesn't work, now what? You tried to convince Yetzer HaRa, it didn't work. You went to learn, didn't work. Says Shema, it didn't work. What now? Says the Gemara, Ve'im Lav. Yizkor lo yom amita. The Gemara, pull up in your imagination a wooden box, and you're inside it. On the day they're going to put you in the ground, Yizkor lo yom amita, not mita. Yizkor yom amita, meaning the whole process. Taking the person in the box, in the ground, goodbye. And on this one, there's no if it works, good. If it doesn't work, then what? Seems to be this is the last stop. Atkan. We don't have any more solutions after this one. Means we gave you now a powerful solution. A very strong remedy to the Yetzer HaRa. Question that's asked is, well, if it's so good, why don't you give it first?
The only one.
Because it comes with side effects. Person is thinking about death all day long, it might not only kill his Yetzer HaRa, but kill also his Yetzer HaTov. It's like Lo Aleinu, a person is getting treatment. You know, they killed the bad cells, but they also killed the good cells too. So it's not really the best way to live life constantly thinking about the day of death. Because it's going to bring your ruah down and might ruin your simha, which will hurt you in doing a lot of good things you're supposed to be doing. So it's not the best place to go. It's like when the doctor tells you, if you don't feel good, take this one. If it doesn't work, take that one. Doesn't work, take that one. If it doesn't work, for sure, just take this one. Now, how come he didn't give you that one first? Because that one has side effects. Don't give you the biggest medicine. Okay. What do you see from this Gemara? The power of remembering death. That it could destroy you. Yes, Mishnah Perkei Avot says, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim. He says, look at three things. And you will not come to sin. You will not make mistakes if you have these three things. What are you looking at? Da me'ayin bata. Remember that you're coming from nothing. From tipas ruha, a little dot of a liquid. Well, anata olech. Remember where you're going. Going to be a piece of dirt. Velifnei mi ata atid leten din v'hashbon, and in front of whom you're going to give judgment. Remember those three things. Means you came from nowhere, you're going to go to nowhere. And remember that you're going to have to answer up for your time in this planet. It's going to be a judgment day. Remember those three things and you won't come to sin. You see that the greatness, the great power of remembering Yom HaMita. So how do you explain the Pasuk in Yeshayahu? Ready for this Pasuk? Pasuk says, Vayikra Adonai Elohim Tzevaot Bayom Ahu. Hashem himself, he called out and says about that day, Lipchi, he says, guys, it's time to cry. Ulmisped, it's time to eulogize. Ul korhav elahagor sak, to wear sackcloth. Veine sason vesimha. Hashem calls for people to go in a little bit of avelut, to cry and to reflect. What's their reaction? What did they do? Hine? Hashem is calling for crime. What do they do? Hine sason v'simha. They're rejoicing more than before. Hine. Meaning before they weren't sason v'simha. They heard Hashem say, guys, wake up. Sason v'simha, harog bakar v'shachotzon, they're making barbecues. God's calling for a fast day. They're making barbecues. Achol basar v'shatot yain. Beautiful. What a party. How can it be? Hashem is warning you. Something's wrong. You make a party? Says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Achol v'shato ki mahar namut. They say we better, God's warning that bad things are happening. That means we're going to die soon. We better take advantage. Tomorrow we're dying. Hashem warned them. There's going to be destruction. They said, oh, wow. We got to make barbecues. Get the DJ. Why? Ki mahar namut. Because tomorrow, we're going to die tomorrow. Now, how does that make sense? Does the day of death, does it cause a person to do better, or does the day of death cause a person to become worse? The Gemara says it makes a person better. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim, remember these three things, and you won't even sin. You'll become better. Even the Yetzer is burning. What's the biggest medicine for that? Day of death. In Yeshayahu, you see the day of death caused them sason v'simha. How does that make sense? Esav is saying, "Hineh anochi olech lamut. I'm going to die anyway. What am I this for?" What do you mean? That's a big question. The day of death, what is it? That's what the Pasuk says. Ki yesharim derche Hashem. The ways of Hashem, they put into this world, that if you remember the day of death, makes you better. Tzadikim yelchubam. People will find success through that. Uposheim. But the failures, yikashlubam. The day of death will become their stumbling block. How could it be? So the answer to this question is very, very simple, but it's very far-reaching. You know, many times in life we look and say like this. The tzaddik is a person who is looking, doesn't care so much about his happiness, doesn't care so much about living a life full of enjoyment. His goal is to be religious. His goal, maybe even to suffer a little. That's his goal. He wants to be a religious person, doesn't want to enjoy life, not interested. He's not interested in enjoyment. You felt like that, right? You felt 100%. These people, they don't get to enjoy life. They're not interested in enjoying. I'm from the people that want to enjoy life. Since I'm from the people that want to enjoy life, so obviously I can't enroll in that program. There's two schools. There's the enjoy life school. And then there's the school where you don't enjoy life, but you become, you know, spiritual. You become close to God. Okay, very nice thing. But I'm from the enjoy of life people, and I can't go there. Very simple. In one way or another, every person has thought like this. There is doing the right thing. I agree it's the right thing. I 100% agree. But it's not for me. But if it's the right thing, why does it not feel? So what he means to say is, I'm enrolled in the Enjoying Life school, and that's really what's important to me. I get it if I'm not that kind of person like that guy. That guy doesn't seem to care about enjoying life. So I'm not like it. What should I do? In one way or another, every person has this mindset at least at some point in their life. They are the people who do good, and then they are the people who enjoy life. If I can enjoy life and do good, adrabah, for sure, I'll do it. Why not? I also want to be good. But at any point it crosses the line from enjoying life to not enjoying life, I'm out. Answers a lot of questions, by the way. Now, so the question is that really true? Is there really such a person in this world that has some sechel that has decided that enjoying life is not for him? He doesn't care about it. Isn't every person a person who wants to enjoy life? Isn't any normal human being a person who wakes up wanting to enjoy every moment of his life, wants to enjoy whatever they do, wants to enjoy their marriage, wants to enjoy their children, wants to enjoy their involvement in anything that they're involved in? Doesn't everyone have a natural desire to enjoy life? Of course. You're no special person because you want to enjoy life. Everybody wants to enjoy life. So does he want to enjoy life? He's not in the school that doesn't enjoy life. So what's the difference between the two schools? Oh, I'll tell you the difference. One school, they both want to enjoy life. One of them is a person who only sees the moment. And one of them, when they think of enjoyment, they see a much bigger picture. They both want to enjoy life. The question is, are you ro'eh et ha-nolad? If you don't see the nolad, if you don't see ahead, so your enjoyment and the desire of enjoyment can only be in the moment. Right now, I'll drink, I'll smoke, I'll do, I'll go, I won't. Because right now, that's what I enjoy. The other guy also wants to enjoy. But he is looking enjoyment forward, that's much more grand. The much bigger enjoyments of life don't usually come in the moment. Steak, you can have at the moment. But building a family, that's not a moment. The pleasures of life that are much bigger and much grander and have a far more reaching effect to the person, they don't happen in the moment usually. These are things that are ahead. It's not you're looking at it wrong, you have a skewed vision. It's not a guy who wants to enjoy and a guy who doesn't want to enjoy. You got it all wrong. They both want to enjoy. The question is where they're looking. Where's their vision? So is the day of mitah, is it an important idea that makes people do better or worse? Well, it depends. If you're a person who sees the moment, so the day of death is just going to get you to do more things in the moment. Like they said, let's eat and drink. Ki mahar namut. If tomorrow we're going to leave this world, so we better take advantage of the moment. Because all you see is the moment. But if you're a person who sees bigger than the moment, then the day of death has a way of clarifying to you your priorities. You're able to see ahead, not only in this world, you're able to see the next world. You're able to understand eternity. One second, where am I going after? What happens to me after 120? Where do I go after the day of death? Where is that going? What happens to me? I start studying the subject. I start being actually mindful. Then all of a sudden, you become a greater person. But only because you have vision ahead. So that's the difference between the two people. The person with vision, the day of death is a hizuk, strength for him. A person who lives for the moment, the day of death is the reason for him to go the other way. It's going south, it's going worse. That's the story with Esav. Hineh anochi olech lamut. And in those words, Esav showed why he is a man of the moment. He says, I'm going to die, so let me party. Ah, you don't have Ro'et HaNolad. That's why he called him Edom. Because Edom was, give me the red stuff. Give me, the red stuff means looks good. Or the red is a good looking item. Takes your attention, superficial, red. Give me the red stuff. Esav sees the red stuff. It means that Esav sees the moment. He's attracted by the color of the moment, by the excitement of the moment. Red represents immediate gratification, immediate excitement. Potatoes, they're not red because it takes time. You got to cut them. You got to make them. Okay, they're not red. You can't have potatoes right away. But red things are usually ready. Red apples. Red, ready to go, immediate. Alken kara shemo Edom. Because it defines Esav and defines his lineage. They are there to enjoy life for the moment. That's why Rabbi Shimon says, who is a great person? Aro'et anolad. When you see ahead, you understand the bigger picture. You don't just do the moment because the moment can ruin the future. And the moment can make the future. And if you're attracted by Edom, you're in big trouble. Here's a young man doing all the worst things, doing terrible things, angry, upset, stubborn. And then as he gets older, he starts to suffer from all of the momentary decisions he made. Forget the drug addict and the alcoholic. And okay, it's obvious. You don't need me for that. But even other things. You didn't work on your character. You didn't work on building yourself. And you're suffering. You get married. You don't get married. Even if you get married, Hashem Yishmor, it's even worse. Issues. Where do the issues of marriage come from? From people that are not, they were working for a moment for 30 years. Now they're going to become, all of a sudden, character calmness, patience. They're not that kind of person. You don't need patience for the moment. You don't need calmness for the moment. The moment is the moment. Whatever I want. I want to sleep late, I'll sleep late. I want to drink, I'll drink. I want to go, I go. I want to yell, I want to scream. Doesn't matter. It's all good. It's all the moment. Ro'et ha'nolad, says Rabbi Shimon, if you see the nolad, everything is different for you. But what's the opposite of ro'et ha'nolad? Someone who borrows and doesn't pay. Why is that? What's wrong with that guy? That's a guy. You know, people, like, I'm sure you've seen people like that. Just keeps borrowing. He knows he can't pay. He's paying credit card. Keeps charging. You know, he can't pay. What are you borrowing for? He borrows to go on vacation. He borrows. Okay, you borrow for necessities. Okay, we said that. Either borrow what you could pay or ask for charity. But you got plenty of people. They just keep borrowing. He's borrowing on his house. He's borrowing on his thing. He's borrowing up. But what's going to happen to you? Where are you? You're not thinking of the future. A person who borrows and doesn't pay means he's only thinking of the moment. He's taking as much as he can from the moment, whether it's money or other things. He's taking from the moment and he's going to pay in a very big way later on. Guy keeps borrowing, one day he's going to be in jail or he's going to be in trouble. But that's not only in money, it's in life. You keep borrowing, you keep taking the Edom, you keep taking the red stuff today. But you can't pay for that. Because you're going to end up having nothing left to show for you. You're taking. Loveh. Like the Mishnah says, loveh from people, or loveh from God. You keep taking, but you're not going to end up with anything. You're taking sleep, but you're not going to have the responsibility that you need to wake up. You're taking drugs, but you're not going to have the ability. You're taking anger, but you're not going to have the ability. You're going to pay for all that. You're borrowing, you're taking and taking, but you can't pay. You're going to end up empty-handed. You keep taking from this world, and you're going to feel later on, you're going to see the emptiness of it. Get the difference. There's ro'et ha'nolad, and there's a guy who just keeps taking for the moment and is not thinking about later how he's going to pay, how he's going to end up. That is the difference between the person who sees re'eh, Hashem says, look, don't you see the difference? Don't you see my door and that door? Don't you understand the difference? Don't you see the results of this kid and that kid? Don't you understand the difference in the family here and there? Don't you see the difference? Well, the answer is, you can only see the difference in Hashem's world if you see ahead. If you're seeing ahead, you'll see a big difference. But if you're looking for the moment, you're not going to see anything. If you look at Shabbat in the moment, you're not going to see anything. You're going to see a bunch of restrictions. That's what you're going to see. You look in Shabbat ahead, it's a game changer. The way of Hashem is not the moment. The way of Hashem is the future. Re'eh! Hashem says, could you look, please? And then we say, one second, how come that guy didn't look? He didn't see? Is he blind? Yeah, he's blind. Because he sees the moment. He only measures the moment and doesn't see ahead. And when you only see the moment, the only thing attractive is the Edom, is the red stuff. And that becomes the destruction of the person. Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should give us clarity and to be able to live life with vision. And the vision of the Creator. Have a good day.